This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It actually was, I would say, it was July 11th. July 11th has a special memory in the history of the Muslim Ummah, and myself as well too, actually. And I don't know how many of you really know when it comes to that date, what do we usually commemorate on that day, July 11th? Anyone knows? The genocide that happened in Srebrenica in Bosnia back in 1995. And subhanAllah, as we commemorate this event that the Muslim Ummah is feel horrible about, the failure of the global community and the international community to help the vulnerable and the weak in a moment of despair, as we think that this was the end of it, finally the world has, you know, woke up to be there, stand there for justice and help the needy and help the destitute and so on. Unfortunately, we're living right now another genocide in Gaza in Palestine. Another genocide that's it's many, many folds worse, unfortunately, than what's happened in Srebrenica. SubhanAllah, usually actually, when every year July comes by, I can't escape the memories of Srebrenica because, alhamdulillah, I lived there in Bosnia for 4 years. And I was blessed and privileged, really, of serving some of the refugees from Srebrenica. But this year, it's hard. It's hard to think about what happened in Bosnia without observing what's happening right now in Gaza. Like, we sometimes reflect on what happened in Bosnia and we say, if I was there, if I lived during that time, if I was, alhamdulillah, strong or conscious of what was going on, I would have done more. I would have done different things. I would have showed my support. We always wish, if I was, I would prevent this from happening. Well, we're already witnessing another genocide, witnessing another Srebrenica called Gaza this time. And it seems that unfortunately not so many people are actively doing much or more than what they really can do. Alhamdulillah, everybody's doing to their capacity, probably. But we can do more. We can put more pressure. There's something else that we can do. But what's happened to the Ummah here? I wanna talk to you about what happened in Srebrenica specifically, and then so we can see why the Ummah is so weak today. So for those who don't know the history, Bosnia used to be part of a confederacy of that time called Yugoslavia. Some of you probably live long enough to remember Yugoslavia as a country. But when the USSR or the Soviet Union collapsed, there was no more East camp that supports these socialist and communist states. So slowly and gradually, start falling apart. And the confederacy of Yugoslavia started falling apart as well too, starting with Slovenia 4 months into the struggle, then they were given independence. And then the Croatia wanted to also seek independence, the same thing too. But when the Muslims, they wanted to leave, they were prevented from doing that. Why? Long history, but to summarize it, the Croatians believe that this land belongs to them, the Serbs believe that it belongs to them. The Serbs, they're Christian Orthodox, or Orthodox Christians, which is from the Eastern Church, supported by the Eastern Church, particularly in Russia, which is why they got actually so much support from there. Croatia were Catholics, and they get the support from Europe, usually. So everybody was fighting for taking this territory and not allowing the Muslims to have an independent state. Now, Bosnia has a Muslim majority in terms of population, but it's divided to different regions. So there's the Muslim territory, there's the Croatian territory, the Serbian territory. Eventually, during the attempt to seek independence, the Serbs prevented that, the Croatians got into it as well too, and the Muslims now are left on their own to defend themselves. So that war erupted in the early 1990s and continued until the 1995-96, you could say. So 95 to be specific. So during that time, obviously, it was back and forth. When the Bosnians now became on the offense and they started gaining more territory, there was one particular region in the central region of Bosnia near an area called Tuzla. So that's where the eastern, basically, territory over there, where Srebrenica was. Srebrenica was more into, closer to the Serbian territory. And as a result, it was like an enclave in a hostile region. And many, many people from the area, they will start escaping there as refugees. Why? Because it was protected by UN forces led by the Dutch, or Holland actually, the Netherlands. So there were the UN forces protecting this area. And it was declared by the United Nations as a safe haven for the refugees. So thousands of people went into that area. And of course now, since the Serbian forces, they realized they're losing the war in that time at least, or losing a lot of territories, they wanted to keep a bargaining chip. So kind of like grabbing one area to negotiate another area so we can kind of have a settlement where they can have so much power in their hands. SubhanAllah, and as a result of that, the Serbian forces went into Srebrenica, even though there were the Netherlands, United Nations troops for protection under so much pressure, they gave up and they gave in and allowed the Serbs to get into that area. So now you talk about thousands of refugees in there, men, women, and children. It's supposed to be a safe place. They separated the men from the women, and they took any boys and men, or any boys of specific age and men, they took them aside, and they separated, of course, the women from them. Unfortunately, they took the boys and the men, supposedly, to take them to different camps, but of course, they never arrived anywhere else because they were massacred in the mountains for many days. Systematic, basically, killing, and there were a lot of mass graves in that area, in that territory. Now, all of this, of course, there was a huge failure, you could say, from the global community to help and support and strengthen the United Nations forces to keep that a safe haven and not being broken into. And some, they say there was a conspiracy, so that at least they give them the advantage in order for them to negotiate what eventually became, as we know it today, Bosnia today. So Bosnia has a specific political system that is sanctioned and protected by European supervisors, or at least observers, you could say. And now, unfortunately, recently, this agreement almost came to an expiration date. And as a result, the Serbs trying to withdraw out of that agreement. So basically bringing the area back again to a volatile situation. And Allah knows what could happen in the future. May Allah protect them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. But the fact is that people were watching, or the whole world was watching, these brothers and sisters being massacred in cold blood for days, and no one came to the rescue. It reminds us of what's happened today in Gaza. Thousands of people have been pushed from the north into the central area of Gaza, and then the south, and even the south is not safe anymore. So there are always in a state of movement as refugees, going north, then going south, and south, going north, escaping death in every way possible. And I guess you guys all have seen the news, and you've seen also the reports that's coming out, that the directive that the soldiers and IDF they're getting from their military is to do what? An open game, shooting just for pleasure. There is no objective, just to kill a civilian, kill innocent people. So literally, they gave them free rein to kill as they wish, and there is no objective but to exterminate. And it's clearly a definition of genocide. They would like to call it ethnic cleansing, but it's no cleansing in this situation. This is genocide. And that's what really happened in Gaza, and unfortunately happened before, but because of the weakness of the Ummah. Where is this weakness coming from? See, it's not secret, because in Hadith Thawban, the Prophet ﷺ, he told us and he predicted what would happen in the future of the Ummah when the Ummah becomes too much attached to the dunya. قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تُوشِكُ أَنْ تَدَعَ الْأَكْلَ الْأُمُّ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَعَ الْأَكْلَ إِلَى قَصْعَتِهَا. So the time is coming near, very close, when the whole nations, all the world, will be gathering around you, like taking pieces from you. Just like the people when they gather around their food plate. So when they come around their dish and they start eating from the sides until they kind of empty everything. So like ever taking a piece from you. And the Sahaba told the Prophet ﷺ, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنِ يَوْمَئِذٍ. Is that going to be because we're not going to be that many? Like they're more than us? He goes, no. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ كَثِيرٌ. You're going to be many. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. But your value will be just like the foam on the surface of the water. Like there is no value for you. Just like the scum on the surface of the water. Why? He says, قَالْ وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ فِي قُلُوبِ أَعْدَائِكُمْ. And Allah will remove the fear of you, the respect for you from the hearts of your enemies. And قَالْ وَضَعْ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَيُلْقُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهِنْ. And throw al-wahn into your heart. قَالْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَمِلْوَهِنْ. What is that, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ؟ قَالْ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The love for this world and the hating to die or leaving this world. And the ulama, they looked in the tafsir of this hadith in many different ways, and many of them say that, look, this is all because when we start favoring this dunya and living for this dunya and building for this dunya, you have so much to lose. So no one likes to leave this place. I mean, when you build it and you keep building it so high and building it so fancy, building it so sophisticated, no one likes to depart from what they really own of this matter, of this dunya. But if you just stay reasonable in this dunya, and nothing really to lose if you leave this world, and the only thing that you lose is the ibadah and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, so that's different. It's easy to sacrifice. And subhanAllah, look at the difference between the Muslim world, especially in rich countries, mashallah, and our brothers and sisters in Gaza. What do they have any? What is left for them? And you're still seeing them bravely stand in front of cameras and saying, we have Allah Azza wa Jal with us. Like, Ya Allah, are you pleased? Take from us as you wish. I mean, they lost everything, literally. But that's the thing. They had a very humble life to begin with. Many of them, at least, I would say. But many of us, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed them with so much. But we start kind of like losing our sense of direction. Instead of focusing on the akhirah and using all the blessings of the dunya to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, that's when al-wahan falls into our heart. We start loving what we have, and we hate to lose it. And as a result, we hate to put the right sacrifice and stand for justice, and because we're going to lose our business, we're going to lose our name, we're going to be exposed, on social media. There's so much at stake for many, many people. And therefore, they're afraid to lose their contract, they lose their sponsorship, losing this, losing that. So they just keep quiet, and they never stand for justice. It's because of this situation like this that we see things like Srebrenica happens, and Gaza, and Allah knows what else could happen in the future. And it's a reminder for you and I that it's a wake-up call, really, that we need to make sure that this dunya is not in our heart. It's in our hand. And if we do that, you'll always be in control of it. And wallahi, you fear nobody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You stand for justice. You say which is true. And you go out and you be vocal about it. And if it needs, you reach out to those who are responsible and you hold them accountable for it. You will do everything in your power to bring justice to the weak and the vulnerable, and those who deserve to stand for. But our attachment to the dunya makes us hesitant. Like, I don't want to lose this, I don't want to lose my family, my kids, this and that. So make sure to remove this dunya from your heart and put it in your hand and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is so much that needs to be done, ya ikhwa, to stop this genocide. And the clock is ticking. And subhanAllah, there's no... Our brothers and sisters in Gaza, the situation is so dire. I can't even describe it. I can't even start to begin to... I'm getting distressed, subhanAllah, just thinking about it even, and even trying to say where to start, where to begin. Because there is so much happening there that it's overwhelming, and they want to flood you with all these events until you become paralyzed. And you start feeling, I can't do anything for them. This is it. I'll leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there's more we can do, inshallah, azawajal. Please. Go back again and think about it and ask. If Allah blessed you with wealth, what can you do about this? If Allah blessed you with influence, how can you use this in the right direction? If you have business, if you have partners, if you have a voice, whatever that you can, there is so much we could do, inshallah, to bring justice to our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And in the process as well, of course, bring awareness to what's happened in Bosnia so this would never repeat again anywhere in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brothers and sisters in Gaza, ya Rabbil Alameen. Protect them in Palestine, ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brothers and sisters in Bosnia. We ask Allah to have mercy and rahmah on those who pass, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our brothers in Gaza, ya Rabbil Alameen. And all those who are oppressed around the world, ya Rabbi, we ask you for protection, ya Rabbil Alameen. Alleviate their suffering, ya Rahman, ya Rahim. Ya Allah, we ask you to bring peace and tranquility in their life, ya Allah. and be there for them, Ya Rabbil Alameen, and only you who can help them, Ya Rahman. We ask you to realize us to help them and support them, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam, baraka nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.